Good morning.
Morning.
Isn't it great to be in the Lord's house on the Lord's day with the Lord's people around the Lord's table?
Amen.
Doesn't get any better than that on planet Earth. Yep. One of the best things that could ever take place in our life is what we're experiencing right here today. Well, 2 weeks ago, Logan asked me if I'd fill in for him this Sunday. So that's 2 weeks ago. I got my first cold of the season, of course. And usually lasts about a week. Well, this time it lasted 2 weeks. And it's still not over. So I told the devil, you might as well hang it up because I'm preaching Sunday if they have to prop me up behind the pulpit. So we're going to preach today. Well, think on the theme this morning, how to avoid falling away. And I hope you forget about what you're going to do after the service or what you're going to do this coming week. And I hope you'll center your thoughts upon the scriptures we're going to look at and upon this thought we're looking at today, how to avoid falling away. We'll be looking at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 through chapter 4 and verse 2. Take care, brethren. Be sure you got it up there. Take care, brethren, that there be not in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. For who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Therefore, let us fear if, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. Well, you know, regardless of that phony doctrine out there today, once saved, always saved, you can fall. You can fall. And certainly Scripture in Hebrew makes that apparent for us. And throughout the Word of God, you'll find that very same thing. You know, we can just throw away about two-thirds of the New Testament if you cannot fall away. Because everywhere we look throughout the New Testament is telling us that we can fall away. So if it's not a reality, then the Bible wouldn't be filled with all those warnings. Now, as the religious world does with baptism, so it does with this matter of salvation, that you can't fall away. You know, you cannot misunderstand what God says in His Word unless you have professional help. If you read what God's Word says, it's very plain. And throughout the Bible, it's telling us what is required in order to be a disciple. It tells us in the Gospels of what is required to become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, it tells us how to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And we look through those 21 epistles, it tells us how to stay in Christ and how to grow in grace, knowledge, truth, love, and wisdom, that we may grow in our Christian life. So rather than accept at face value, they create a web of deceit. You know, they take a scripture. Yeah, you know, I didn't know Paul and Peter had so much trouble trying to get across to us what they were wanting to say. Because they'll take these verses that has to do with salvation, these words have to do with coming to Christ, the plan of salvation. They'll take these verses and they'll spend paragraphs telling you why Peter didn't say what he meant, that was not what he meant when he penned those words. Or all the other things we find throughout the Scriptures. So rather than accept at face value, what do? They create a web of deceit. And many out there today are not looking into their Bible, and they are falling away day by day, if they ever were there to begin with. And as always, your eternal destiny is too important to depend upon what somebody else has to say. You need to look to the Word of God and read it for yourself because it is so simple a child can understand it. Even at an early age, they know what is required to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. They know what is required in order to get into Christ. So you do not need professional help. What you need to do is get into the Word of God and let the Word of God get into you and be obedient to what He says in His Word. Because when we're obedient to what He says in His Word, then we get His promises. We get His promises. It's all right there for us. You know, a malpractice suit's a little bit late when you get before the judgment bar of God. So we better be looking for ourselves. And again, it was written in the Koine Greek, which is in the street Greek, which means it was written for the individual person, the person out there in the street, not some educated moron. It's for each and every individual. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time this morning proving that one can be lost, because the Bible certainly makes that very clear throughout. You know, sometimes I think when I look at that, once saved, always saved, I think of it another way. And sometimes, like this past 2 weeks, I think once sick, always sick. You know, that seems like that happens in my life. Well, the Bible certainly makes it very clear, does it not? It makes it very clear. We're going to look at three things this morning as we look at these verses. And we're going to look at many other verses as well. Keep your heart pure and open to the truth. And that's the first thing we're going to look at. Second thing we're going to look at is keep your fellowship with God's people. That's so very important if we're going to avoid falling away. And thirdly, we're going to look at keep uniting the Word with genuine faith. You know, that's what the problem they had back then. They didn't unite it with genuine faith, did they? And so they fell in the wilderness. So we want to start out with number one, keep your heart pure and open to the truth. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. And you know, it's not enough just to have a head knowledge. The Bible has a lot to say about the heart. It has to say about the inward part of us, the real us, that which animates this body we're in. And what do we find in Hebrews 3:12? He says, take care, brethren. Well, that's an imperative, by the way. Take care, brethren, that there be not in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. You see, head knowledge without heart knowledge is an exercise in futility. If it doesn't get farther than our head and doesn't get on down to our heart, then it's an exercise in futility. It's like eating all the nutritious food that you can find out here in this world. You know, you just take it all in, and it's just so nutritious and everything. And if it enters into a stomach that's bad, a stomach that does not digest it, and it does not hit the bloodstream, all that nutrition doesn't do you any good, does it? Well, in our spiritual life, the same thing is true. If you take it in the intellect, and that's the only place it gets, and it doesn't get on into your heart, if it does not become incarnate, then it does us no possible good. It all begins in the heart, and the Bible has a lot to say about the heart. Notice these various scriptures. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. He says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. What are we to do? Watch over it. Who's to watch over your heart? Is God to take care of that for you? No, God leaves it up to us to do what we can do. And this is an imperative that says this is what we are to do. We are to watch over our heart, what? With all diligence. For what comes out of the heart? That which flows as the springs of life. What goes in is what comes out. We have a way of it coming in through our eyes and our ears. We need to be very careful what we hear and what we take in, the movies we watch, the songs we listen to, the company we keep. All these things are so imperative that we watch over our heart, because it has to have an inroad somewhere. And you know, when it once comes in, it's on your brain and on your mind forever. It's there forever. You can't get rid of it. It makes an engram on the brain. So it's there for life. So be careful what you take in through the eyes and through the ears. Because what you take in through the eyes and the ears, you soon begin to practice in your life. Again, Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Future tense. You will be saved. That's not all there is to it, but that's very important. For with the heart a person believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses unto salvation. What's the mouth bringing forth? It's bringing forth that which is in our heart. And what's in our heart? It'd be determined by that which we take in through the eyes and the ears. That which we take in to our life. Matthew chapter 15, verses 18 and 19. But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. Where do all these things come from? They come out of our heart, out of our heart, out of our innermost being. So it's so important what we take in. It's also important that what we have a head knowledge of, it becomes incarnate and it reaches our heart. And then we do those things which we know we need to be doing. How does one keep his heart? How does one keep his heart? By living a focused life, taking in pure things, and not, you know, sometimes we look at these movies and think, well, that wasn't too bad. There's only 15 cuss words in that one. Well, maybe we shouldn't have been watching that to start with. Well, at least we remember there's 15 cuss words in there, so it must have made an impression on our minds. How do we keep our heart? By keeping a focused life to take in the pure things. By personal Bible study and prayer. You know, if the only thing you get from God's Word is what you hear here on Sunday morning or Sunday night, you're going to be a spiritual pygmy. You're not going to grow at all. You need to be in it every day of your life. And taking it in, not just in your head, but apply it to your life. And then to begin to flesh it out on a daily basis. That's where we live. It's not an add-on or tack-on to our life. It's where we live. And these things are so very, very, very important. Always being open to God's truth. Always be open to God's truth. Go into the words as if you never looked at it before and say, "Speak, Lord, thy servant hears and obeys." And take it in to your total being. And again, it must become incarnate in us. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15. While it is said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoke me. What are we to do? We are to not harden our hearts. Who does that? Well, he's saying we're not to do that. God doesn't harden our hearts. We harden our hearts whenever we refuse to be and become what he has for us to be and become. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, it begins when we start to drift away. When we begin to drift away. He says, "For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it." That word drift comes from the Greek word which means to flow by, to slip away. It's kind of like, you know, you got your ship tied up and anchored there in the port there, and all of a sudden you look out and it's halfway across the sea. Well, it wasn't anchored well, was it? It drifted away. And so the same thing happens in our life as well. So many times a day it seems like people have more churchianity than they do Christianity. And it always reached their head, but it has not reached the heart. Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 13. "Then the Lord said, because his people draw near with their words and honor me with their lip service, but they remove their hearts far from me, and their reverence for me consists of tradition learned by rote." You see, we can't live by Ma and Pa's faith or Grandma and Grandpa's faith. It must become incarnate in us. It must become our faith. It must become our faith. The Word of God must enter through the intellect, but it also then must reach the very center of our being. And we have made that decision that, yes, we met the requirements. We're going to be what God wants us to be. We're going to apply those things to our life. Matthew chapter 15, verse 7 through 9. What's he say again? "You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men." Well, we are called upon to worship the Lord in what? Spirit and in truth. Spirit and in truth. So either one is left out, then it's not going to be proper worship before God. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, we find an interesting verse. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" Well, that's very important, isn't it? Why do we call him Lord, Lord, if we're not going to do what he says? So again, it's an exercise in futility to have a head knowledge of all these things if we do not apply these things to our life. Do you realize heart is found 726 times in 677 verses in the Bible? So that tells us the heart must be important. And what's he tell us in order to avoid falling away? The Word tells us to keep your heart pure and keep it open to the truth. Open to the truth. "Speak, Lord, thy servant hears and obeys." Secondly, this morning, keep your fellowship with God's people. In other words, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the Bible tells us. First of all, in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, he says, "But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by" what? "The deceitfulness of sin." Sin is very deceitful. Sin promises everything, doesn't it? Sin promises the world, but whenever we do what the devil says, what the world says, what do we find at the end of it all? We do not find what the promise is not there, is it? But the promises of God are sure in this life and in the life to come. And we can be assured in what God tells us to do. Beware of that deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 10:25. "Not forsaking our own assembling together is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Well, that day is drawing near, whether it be when Jesus comes again, or whether we go to meet him. You know, I'm 81 years closer to that than I've ever been before in my life. Every day, you get closer and closer to that time. Either Jesus is going to come again, or you're going to go to meet him. And, you know, the old always die, but the young can die. So we better be prepared at all times. As a matter of fact, you're not prepared to live until you're prepared to die. And once you're prepared to die, you're in a win-win situation. You're in that period of life then when you say, "For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain," as the Apostle Paul said. And it's all right there for us, and we can live a victorious life if we apply the Word to our life and to our hearts. And we must have that fellowship again with God's people as well. As we look at Hebrews 3:13, we are to encourage one another. Again, as we see that day approaching, and that day is approaching. And we are to what? Encourage one another. That comes from the Greek word parakaleti. Para means alongside, parallel. Kaleti means call, or kaleo. To call alongside. And what are we to do? Each one of us have that responsibility. We are accountable to one another. And we ought to have a great concern for one another. And if one of us starts to fall aside, we ought to be out there helping that one to make it back. Someone's having problems in their life, help them. Help them along the way. And that pronoun in Hebrews 13:13 is a reflexive pronoun. It's a reflexive pronoun, and it means that that we are accountable unto God, and we're accountable to one another. To keep on calling alongside as we make that journey ourselves. How can we encourage one another on a daily basis? How can we do that? Pray. Pray. You know, we can't meet together like they did in the early church from day to day. We got too many things going out there in our world. So whenever we're not meeting together, he says here to do it daily. And that's a command to do it by daily. Well, how can we do that? Well, we can do that through prayer, can't we? We can do that through prayer. Prayer for one another. And I pray for you every day, and I hope you pray for me. And you say, well, how is that possible? Well, what do you do? You get the church directory, and you go through the last names of all the ones there, and you pray for each one by that name. I do that every day from A to Z. That's all the way from Adam to Zug, and all those ones in between. And you take that letter of the alphabet, you take that family name, and you lift that family up before God every day. And the good part of that is that name may be in reference to someone you've never met. So you're praying for people you do not know as well as people you do know who have that same name. So we are to encourage one another and be caring. And certainly that's an area we all need to grow in, don't we? We all need to grow in, especially in America. You know, we want to be independent, don't we? We don't depend on anybody. We pull ourselves up our own bootstraps. We're stronger than dirt. We don't need anything. We don't need anybody. Well, that's the American thought. But God says you do. God says we need one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26 and 27. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. We're a part of the body of Christ, and we're all dependent upon each other. We have that interdependence, and we ought to keep each other accountable unto God. And we see a brother slipping and sliding away, then we need to take care of that. We see one is having problems in their life, we need to help them with their problems. Because we are one body, aren't we? And if one suffers, we all suffer, as he says here. If one suffers, we all suffer. So to answer Cain's question to God, you remember when God asked him about his brother Abel? What did he say? God said, "Where's your brother?" And he said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Well, we don't find the answer there in Scripture, but I can tell you assuredly, yes, we are our brother's keeper. We are accountable to one another, and God expects us to watch out for one another, to help one another along a life's journey, because none of us are an island unto ourselves. So first of all, we must keep our heart pure and open to the truth. Secondly, we must keep our fellowship with God's people. And thirdly, we need to keep uniting the Word with genuine faith. There is a very important part of so that we will avoid falling away. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. He says, "For indeed, we have good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard." It emphasizes here the completeness of the evangelization that's taken place in our life. There's no room for excuses in our life, because God has given us everything we need in order to be and become all that He wants us to be and become. But you see, He gives us His Word, but it's a living Word. It's not a dead Word just laying there on the pages. He expects it to be taken in through our minds, through our intellect, and then applied to our hearts. And it's where we live. It's where we live. It's not just a passing thing in our life. No room for excuses, because God has provided everything we need. We can be and become all that God wants us to be and become, because God has provided the power. God does not expect anything from your life that He doesn't give you the power to accomplish it. You have the power if you have the desire. And that's where the rub comes in. Most of our desire today is for the things of the world and everything that's going on out there in the world, rather than that desire to grow in grace, knowledge, truth, love, and wisdom in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it takes effort. And the Bible makes that very clear. As we said in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus makes it very clear of what is required of us if we're going to be His disciple. If you're going to live for Him, then He says, I have first place in everything. I'm above all in your life. There is no one greater in your life. There is nothing greater in your life that you are to follow. I want you totally, totally surrendered unto Me. And He said, if you're not going to do that, then forget it. You're wasting your time. You know, many people today have enough Christianity to make them miserable, but not enough to make them happy. And I want to be a happy Christian. You know, we're given a day of our life every day, and I want to be happy every day of my life. And no way I can have that's when I'm in Jesus Christ, because my future is assured. My future is assured. So we must then, if it's to be our profit, it must be united with genuine faith. In other words, the Word comes into our head, into our intellect, and then it must be applied to our life, and then we begin to flesh it out on a daily basis. And all of it is important. And He's given us everything we need in order to keep us in the Lord Jesus Christ, and to give us the greatest life here and the only life hereafter. You know, sometimes we do not realize just how great a life we have in Jesus Christ. What all He has done for us, what we have in Him, all His great love and mercy has been extended to us. We need to give Him thanks every day. The first thing we ought to do every morning we get out of bed is thank God for all that He has done in our behalf. It must reach deeper than our head, mental assent. It must bring about convictions. You'll argue about what you believe, but you'll die for your convictions. And what's the Word to do? Well, as I said here, they had all this Word in there, but they didn't believe it. They didn't believe it. They didn't apply it to their life. Well, whenever the Word of God is applied to true belief, then it brings about conviction. And we'll die for our conviction. We'll make our stand for the Lord Jesus Christ no matter what. We're going to live for Him every day no matter what the devil throws at us. We've already made that decision. Our decision now is not to determine between good and evil. Our decision now is between that which is good and that which is better. And not only that which is better, but that which is best for that particular time in our life. And we need to apply God's Word to our life. We need to believe it, unite it, get it mixed with the genuine faith, and then it will produce these convictions that will give us happiness in our Christian life. Again, I said, many have enough Christianity to make them miserable, not enough to make them happy. You know, the real joy, the real happiness is at the center. It is at the center of being in Jesus Christ, not around the outer edges. And oh, how long it takes for us to learn that. The result of that mix to eternal love for Christ, we will keep His commandments. We will keep His commandments. He doesn't run a spiritual supermarket. You don't pick what you want and leave what you don't. No, it's all or nothing. Jesus is either Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. And so we need to understand that going in. And then to apply that to our life every day of our lives. The result of that mix is eternal love for Christ and the keeping of His commandments. And that's what we'll endure in keeping His commandments, if we love Him. And that's the very first commandment that was given. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. I believe that's the first commandment. So that love must be there. John chapter 14 and verse 15. Jesus said, if you love Me, you will keep My commandments. What's the motivating force? Love. Love. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. It must reach the very center of your being, and it must be fleshed out on a daily basis. 1 John chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world. What is it? Our faith. Our genuine faith. That faith has been mixed with our belief, and we have convictions concerning everything in our Christian life. You know, the sooner we learn that, the sooner we'll have the abundant life. You know, when we come to finally realize that God says not to do something, it's because it's not good for us. And we learn that God says to do something, it's for our good. And we prove it out every day as we make an application of His Word to our life. So the sooner we learn that, the sooner we're going to have the abundant life that Jesus came to give. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, if you haven't memorized that, you surely should. But the goal of our instruction is, notice the qualifications, love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. That's exactly what we're talking about here in Hebrews and all these scriptures we looked at, isn't it? That's exactly what we're talking about. Love is our motivation, and it is derived from a pure heart and a genuine faith. A pure heart and a genuine faith. So what have we found and how to avoid falling away? Keep your heart pure and open to the truth. Keep your fellowship with God's people. Keep uniting the Word with genuine faith. Get that right mixture in there. So Hebrews 4:1 actually is kind of concludes what we've been talking about. And all that we have said here today. Notice what he says, Hebrews 4:1. Therefore, let us fear if while a promise remains of entering His rest, any one of you seem to have come short of it. Because of all he has said, as we've already looked at today, because of all that, then take it to heart and be sure that you do not fall short of it as they did there in the wilderness. You remember in the wilderness, they saw all the great power of God. You know, they were fed, their clothes never got old. God brought them out of Egypt. All those things they had experienced, and yet they didn't make it out, did they? They all died in the wilderness. Why? Because of their unbelief. They did not take God seriously, and they did not apply the Word to their life, and it was not mixed with faith, and did not become convictions concerning their well-being. So, again, the fear is a proper motivator to begin with. That's not where you are to end up, but that's where you begin. That's good to get our attention. The Bible makes that clear as well. Psalms chapter 111 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever. Again, Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. That's the starting place. We understand and realize who God is and the power that God has. And to realize that we are accountable unto Him. Brethren, that should get our attention. And then we find out what to do about it. And then we apply the Word to our life. And then we be and become what God wants us to be and become. Oh, don't take your salvation lightly. Don't take it lightly. Be on the alert. The Bible tells us that over and over again, doesn't it? Guard that which has been given unto you. Live it. Flesh it out on a daily basis. Already make that decision what you're going to do before any temptation even comes your way. You already made the decision. I'm going to live for God no matter what comes my way, whether I live or whether I die. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. You notice in these verses what causes failure. That is the deceitfulness of sin, isn't it? Sin promises you more than it delivers. It always does. Satan always promises you way more than what he delivers to you. Not so with God. But notice these verses in Hebrews 3:13. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you be hardened by what? The deceitfulness of sin. Deceitfulness of sin. You know, it's no accident that Jesus began the Sermon on the Mount there in Matthew 5. He began on this Sermon on the Mount with Beatitudes. Well, I like to think of them as Beatitudes. Beatitudes. That's what we are to be. This is the attitude that we are to have. And our attitude will determine our altitude, how high we get up in our Christian life. And so we find that he gives us things there that are paradoxical, aren't they? You read those Beatitudes, and what do you find? Well, you find it doesn't seem like it could possibly happen. But when you apply those to your life, what happens? You have the greatest joy that one can have. You have the greatest joy that one can have. You know, Again, in 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. I think I left out 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. Or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. And Paul and Peter also add to that in 2 Thessalonians 1:8 and in 1 Peter 4:17, those who do not obey the gospel. So the ones we've determined good people, they're going to be just as lost as those ones we've just listed. They'll be just as lost if they've never been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the only way to heaven from planet Earth. And there's only one way into Him. Yes, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, it also tells us the same thing. And who is not to be deceived? Notice the you is understood. It's an imperative. You, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. What's that mean, God is not mocked? Well, that word mocked in the Greek means to sneer at, to turn up the nose towards. And he says, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. Isn't that true? It's a matter of sowing and reaping, isn't it? Whatever we sow, that's what we're going to reap. That's what we're going to reap in our life. And Satan is a master deceiver. He is a master deceiver. He will deceive you before you get into Christ. You know, he'll say, well, yeah, that's the right thing to do. You know, yeah, you ought to be baptized into Christ. But you know, that's a big, major decision you're making here. And you need to give it more thought. You need to give it more time. And if he can get you to put that off week after week after week, he wins, doesn't he? He wins. But he's also right there after you have been immersed into Christ. You think he was working hard before, you don't realize how hard he's going to work after you become a Christian. And what's he tell us most times? Well, you've got your baptism certificate. You've got your ticket to heaven. You know, you don't have to do anything. Just sit back, take your ease, and just wait for the time to come. Well, that's certainly contrary to the 21 books in the Bible, isn't it? Those 21 epistles, it tells us about living the Christian life. So, who are we going to listen to? Are we going to listen to Satan or are we going to listen to God? So, again, that damnable doctrine, once saved, always saved. You know where that came from? That came from Satan himself. That came from Satan himself. And nowhere in the Word of God do you find that to be true. Everything we find out in the Word of God is we can fall away. And it also tells us everything we need to know in order not to fall away. Not to fall away. But we got to get into the Word, let the Word get into us. We've got to apply it to our life. It's going to be effective for us. So like they, we have heard the good news preached to us, haven't we? We've heard the good news. Now what are we going to do with it? Are we going to unite it with our belief and make convictions in our life? Are we going to accept it? Or are we going to reject what God says in His Word? We always have that choice. Will it profit you or will it not? That's a decision every one of us has to make, isn't it? Will it profit us or will it not? The Bible tells us, and makes very plain, that we are to come in what? Genuine faith. Genuine faith. Where's that faith come from? Hebrews 10:17 tells us it comes from the Word of God. It is the Word of God that produces faith in our life. But what do we learn when we look to the Word of God? Well, if we look to the Word of God, we find all the things that God has done in our behalf. We find the goodness and kindness of God. And it is that goodness and kindness of God that's what leads us to repentance. Not fear, but because of what God has done for us. To really understand that God loves you so much, Jesus left all of heaven for you. One, you're one in 7 billion people on the face of the earth, and Jesus loves you, and He died for you, and He wants you to be saved. That's a part of the faith that we learn about when we first start studying about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the fear, it's the goodness and kindness of God. It is the love of God that leads us into what? Repentance. Repentance is from a Greek word, metanoeo. Meta means change, and the last part means mind. Noeo, change mind. It's a change of mind that causes us to have a change of direction in our life. It's a change of heart, a change of life that we're going to live. Complete change takes over in our life. It is then that we're ready to confess with our mouth what we believe in our heart. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I love Him with all of my heart. I want to live for Him. I want that old man crucified with Christ, and I want to bury that old man with Christ in that watery grave of baptism, because God said He would meet me there, and He said He's going to forgive me of all my sins, and He's going to give me the Holy Spirit to live in my life. He has empowered me to be and become all He wants me to be. So then He says to be faithful until death. Faithful unto death. 21 books there tell us how to be faithful unto death. And God does not require anything of us. He does not provide the power to do. But if you're not in Christ, you don't have that power. Because only in Christ can you receive the Holy Spirit. As you're immersed into Christ, God gives you His Holy Spirit. And then you have the power to be and become what God wants you to be. Well, you've heard the word. You've heard the gospel this morning. Are you going to unite it with faith? Is it going to bring about conviction in your life? Are you going to be ready to say right now today, to this day forward, I want to live my life for the Lord Jesus Christ? If you've never been obedient to the gospel, this is your time. This is your choice. Do not let Satan fool you in thinking you have plenty of time, because you're one heartbeat away from eternity. That's not a scare tactic. That is a reality of life. So what about you? Where are you at with the Lord Jesus Christ today? What you do with Him here will determine what He must do with you there. So it's all in your hands. What will you do? Jesus is waiting. The Savior is waiting. He wants you to enter into your heart. But you have the final choice as we stand and as we sing.
Page 651.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let Him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to Him? Time after time He has waited before, and now He is waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how He wants to come in. If you'll take one step toward the Savior, my friend, you'll find His arms open wide. Receive Him and all of your darkness will end. Within your heart He'll abide. Time after time He has waited before, and now He is waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how He wants to come in. Just a reminder, the invitation is never closed here. It's open 24/7. You call any one of us and we'll be glad to take care of your need at any time, any hour, night or day. It's all in your hands.